I want to honor Pastor Scotty and Pastor Teresa. Thank you so much for having us. The Holy Spirit is already here. You didn't come just to hear me preach. You came to encounter the power of God. And I believe that as you listen with hearts wide open, that you are going to have a face-to-face encounter with the Holy Ghost. Yesterday, as we were in worship, the Lord spoke to me about how in Exodus 33, when it talks about how Moses, he spoke to God as one speaks to a friend. He spoke to God as one that spoke to, he spoke to him as a friend, face to face. And I think it's so beautiful because just now as we were worshiping, I had not talked to the worship team. And the first song we sung, we worshiped, it's talking about the Holy of Holies. And showing us his face. And tonight, the Lord, he wants to extend an invitation that there is more for each and every one of us. There's always more in God. And there's an invitation to each one of his sons and daughters that are in this house. And he's saying, come up higher. I have more for you. There's always more in God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that you would flow through me rivers of living water, Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that I would be a yielded vessel unto your use, Lord. Lord, I pray that hearts will be open to receive all that you would have for them, Lord God. I pray and I declare that each person would leave here transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you that the same power that rose Christ from the dead is within us. I thank you for resurrection life, Lord, where there has been weight and heaviness and depression. I thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is arising, Lord. I declare that the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you pour your spirit upon us without measure. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face and gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're here, Jesus. You're here, Jesus. Just wait upon the Lord. Just wait upon the Lord. Oh, this is revival. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's a God to be experienced. He's not a God far away. No, he is God within us. Christ, the hope of glory, he's within us. And daily we can encounter him. And he wants to encounter us. There's intimate knowledge that he desires to have with his children. It's fellowship. It's communion. If I could have your way, Holy Ghost. The Bible says that it's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within us. And so we are to be a people that are abiding in him, and we have peace, we have joy, righteousness, the right standing. We're in right standing with the Father. We're not to be living downcast. We're not to be living unsettled. No, 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 no. We have the victory. The Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is done. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And today, if you came in here with any heavy weight, you're going to leave here with every burden lifted up off of you. Because he is your burden bearer and he cares for you. You are his child. And if you are not his child and you have not repented and made Jesus your Lord, you can make that decision tonight. And it is the best decision that you will ever make. Because when Jesus steps in, he makes everything new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you have everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness. You have everything that you need in the Holy Ghost. And you can live a life of victory each and every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I do want to share this before I get deep into my message because we don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do. I don't even know what all the Holy Ghost is going to do, but I'm going to be yielded unto him. Yes, I am. But I do want to share that I have a couple books out front. One about my testimony, Your Pain is Not in Vain. Because, and I'll get a little bit into my testimony towards the end of the message. But the Lord has done a radical, radical transformation in my life. I wasn't born into a Christian household. I dealt with depression. I dealt with chaos growing up. I was mad at God. I was a drug addict for many years. I was prostituting my body. I didn't have any self-worth, but God. But God, I encountered the power of God behind bars. And let me tell you, that was my crossroads with Jesus, and it forever changed my life. And when I realized that my whole life I had been trying to fill the void that only Jesus Christ could fill through drugs, through sex, whatever be the case, you know, I was trying to fill that void. And I realized that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that's what my soul was longing for all along. Nothing can satisfy you like Christ Jesus. So I want to share about that book and then the book, When God Writes Your Love Story, because apart from making Jesus the Lord of your life, the number that is the most important number one decision you'll ever make, but the second most important decision you'll ever make is choosing a spouse. And I believe in my heart that God does choose a perfect mate for you. I do believe that because God is in the details. You hear about it when he is having Moses and they're building the tabernacle. He's very intricate. He's not wanting you to just marry anyone. Okay, there's a specific person in mind. And let me tell you, God can work all things together for your good. Yes, he can bring restoration, but if you walk closely with the Holy Ghost, he can lead you to the right person. And the Lord told me, he said, you will be this man's rib. And God supernaturally brought Michael and I together. This is a supernatural marriage. I waited 10 years for this marriage, glory to God. And there were times where I was like, Lord, my friends are getting married. They're getting pregnant. And now, glory to God, I'm married. I have a beautiful baby boy and I'm pregnant with our second child. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Okay, and when the Bible says that the steps of the righteous, so when you repent, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're now in right standing with the Father, right? And so our steps are to be ordered. They're circumspect. You know, he says, okay, now it's time to shift. Like, our God is a God of order. And so the Lord wanted me to share tonight about living a life of faith. And that's why I wanted to share about the books, because I wouldn't be where I'm at today had I not been obedient every step of the way. When you repent and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, God doesn't give every step at once. He'll give you glimpses. And that's why it's a faith walk. You take one step of faith, and then he'll give you a little bit more because you're obedient to what he said. Because it's about faith and it's about relationship. He wants to make sure that you trust him. He's a good father. He's a good father, and he has a good plan for your life. And we have the Holy Ghost within us to lead us into the fulfillment of that plan. Living a life of faith ultimately springs forth from a deep knowing of who the Lord is and who you are in Him. I'm going to read from Exodus 33. I'm reading a lot of scriptures, so get ready. Exodus 33, 7 through 23, and this is in the NLT. This is the tent of meeting. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. The Lord wants to speak to you, church. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." The Lord wants to give us rest. And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and where my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Now, as new covenant believers, we are the tent of meeting, because God's Spirit now dwells within us, making our bodies a living temporary sanctuary for divine interaction. We have our living high priest who is forever making intercession for us. And he is daily wanting to commune with us and have interaction with us. And that's what I felt in my heart, that the Lord, he wants to extend an invitation to each of us. And he's saying, come up higher. Come up higher. I want to show you great and mighty things. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." See, be still was first. And a lot of the times, because we live in a society that is so on the go, we're so busy, we're so distracted, that we don't have time to be still. And to be honest with you, a lot of people get really uncomfortable when they're in stillness. But I'm telling you, church, that we're living in a day and we're living in an hour where the Lord is wanting to give divine instruction, because he's coming back. He's coming back for a bride without spot and without blemish. And may we be a people who are not distracted, that we are fully engaged, and that we hear our marching orders. My husband spoke last night. There's many people that they know that they've heard from God, and yet they've not stepped out. Take that step of faith. Do what God has called you to do. Don't look at the circumstance. Look to your God. Don't be like the 10 spies that had a bad report. No. Be like Joshua and Caleb. Because if God says it's yours, then it's already yours. So just as the Old Testament tent was a consecrated place to meet with God, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit to host His presence daily. When you walk into a room, people should smell Jesus on you. There's a sweet aroma because you've been with Him. Before you even open your mouth, people should see, oh, yeah. They're one of those. They're Jesus people. They're Jesus people. And I say that because, you know, we're not an, I don't like to say religion. I know, yes, Christianity is a religion, but man, for years I knew religion. But when I met Jesus, when I met the power of the Holy Ghost, everything changed. Realizing that He is God with us. He's Emmanuel. He's not a God far away. And He's a supernatural God. And I believe too often in the Western church, we can rely so much on what we can do instead of relying in utter dependence on the Lord. And He's like, well, what about me? Why didn't you come to me first? And glory to God, we have doctors, you know, we have medical help. Thank God. But I'm just saying that what if we went to God first? What if He was our first answer? May all the idols in our lives, and I'm speaking to myself, guys, may they all bow so that we can give Him His rightful place. The more death to the flesh, the sinful, the human nature, the greater the glory, the greater the manifest presence that we can carry. Face to face in Hebrew, I looked this up earlier, is panim el panim, referring not just the physical face of a person, but to a person's presence, persona, or innermost self. It signifies intimate communion, transparency, and a deep personal interaction. This is friendship. It's communion with God. And He wants to speak to us, just like Moses spoke to the Father. Face-to-face encounters. And this doesn't have to be something that's just experienced in the church, in the four walls. No, daily. Daily sustenance, daily bread. We can't live off of yesterday's word. You know, even as I was preparing this message, and the Lord, He's so funny because I used to, you know, get messages weeks in advance, and the Lord doesn't do that hardly ever anymore. Like, literally, this downloaded this morning. And I'm like, Lord, because He wants me fully relying on Him. And yes, you study to show yourself approved, but He just, by faith, allows it to be right at the last minute a lot of the times, and He'll just download it to me, you know? But I don't study the Word of God to get a sermon. I study the Word of God because it's my daily bread. It's feeding my spirit. I'm building myself up as I'm in the Word, and I'm renewing my mind in the Word. So I didn't study to try to get this for you guys. No, I spent time with the Lord and allowed Him to prepare my heart, and then it dropped in my spirit. And that's communion with God. How many in here would say, I want a deeper fellowship? I want a deeper communion with God. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Yes. Me too. There is an invitation tonight, church, to go deeper in revelation knowledge of who He is. It's the Ephesians 1 prayer. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you grow in your knowledge of God. To know God and to be known by God, that is the highest goal. To be more conformed into the likeness of Christ Jesus, that is the highest goal. To be in total union with Him, oneness, that is the highest goal, church. Because from that place, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, His kingdom, His righteousness, all the other things shall be added. May we be a people that seek His face, not just His hand. Because His hand will certainly come when you seek His face. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we behold King Jesus, we become more like Him. We tend to make things more complicated. We think as humans, oh no, we need to do more. We're human beings, not human doings. And as we abide and we spend time with Him, and yes, like I said, we study to show ourselves approved. We pray. But I'm telling you, there's something special that happens when you lay prostrate before the Lord and you just receive. Becoming a good receiver. Don't you like when your children, when they receive well, they're not coming to you begging? Because you delight to give your children good gifts, right? Our Father, even more so, delights to give good gifts. So as we behold Him, we become more like Jesus. What we magnify becomes bigger in our life. So when we magnify Him, He will become greater. And the circumstances, the things in this natural realm, they will no longer shake us. We'll be rooted and grounded in Him. Our roots will go real deep. And so the winds of this life, when they come, you won't be shaken. As we look to Him, His Spirit is transforming you from glory to glory. In Revelation 4:8, it talks about the four living angels around the throne ceaselessly proclaim, holy, 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 representing a perpetual, unchanging worship that reveals new facets of His infinite nature. They never get tired of it. They're always seeing a new facet of the Lord. And that's what I love about the body of Christ, because you can go into one church and the glory of God, the kabod, it will be so heavy. And then you can walk into another church and it's fire and it's evangelistic. We are all part of the same kingdom, but there's different facets of the body. We're different expressions of the kingdom of God. So that's why we can't look to one church and say, oh, you're doing it wrong. No, we are representing different parts of who He is. Not one person in this earth, except for Jesus Christ, is going to be able to truly show all of who God is. The beings are covered in eyes, indicating that as they behold God's splendor, they constantly perceive new aspects of His magnificence. Ooh, hey, go out and break out. It's good. Do your thing, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good. It's good. We're not drunk as you suppose. Oh. So Moses, he asked the Lord to show him His ways. And in Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts, plans, and actions are far superior, vastly different, and often beyond any human comprehension. This passage of Scripture emphasizes the gap between divine holiness and human reasoning. while encouraging trust in God's often mysterious perspective rather than relying on limited human understanding. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you the path to take." The plan of God goes far beyond our natural understanding. His plan far exceeds anything you could plan. It's Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. And it can be that good. And it breaks my heart when I see Christians, they are saved, they love Jesus, but they're not walking in the fullness. They're not walking in victory. They're often defeated. And if they only knew everything that has been given to them freely through salvation. Salvation is amazing. I mean, it's supernatural. It's the greatest gift, but it's entryway to so much more. It's not that we are just going by in this life to get to heaven. No. You now carry heaven in you. And now you're a conduit of that power to release it into the earth. So when you go to work, when you go to a family's dinner and you know that they need Jesus, you could start decreeing and declaring the word of God and believing that things have to shift. And because you've been in His presence, you have seeked Him, you have sought Him face to face, you have His presence, and it shifts everything. Because when you've been with Him, things have to shift. You've got angelic hosts around you. And you got angels going before you, clearing the path. You're not alone, church. There are more for you than are against you. There's so much more. And there is such a grand plan. May we not settle for mediocrity. He's a great God. He's a big God. And He's in you to do big things. You are able to do everything God has called you to do through the power of the Holy Ghost because you're a yielded vessel unto Him. Thank you, Lord. As I was preparing, I was hearing the Lord say, "Come up higher. There's more that I want to reveal to you." And so I truly believe that after you leave here tonight, that the Lord is going to speak very clearly to some of you. That your ears will be spiritually attuned, ears to hear, eyes to see, and you will know your next. You will know the path. The Lord is not trying to hide His will from you. So many people think, They're like, I'm frantic. I don't know the will of God. I don't know which path to take. And we tend to overcomplicate things, truly, because the Father is not hiding His will. And for one, I want to tell you that His word is His will. So as you partake in this word, you're feeding your spirit man. This is His will, becoming more like Christ. And from that place, you will be sharpened to know the will of God specifically tailor-made for you because you'll be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There is a plan for each and every one of us. And your steps, as I said earlier, they're ordered. He is a God of order. And He wants to speak to us. So the Lord told Moses that He would personally go with him into the promised land and that He would give him rest and that everything would be fine. Nancy Dufresne, a woman minister I love dearly, she always says, faith is a rest in God. Because when we're resting in God, we're not moved. We have an inner settledness. Like no matter what's coming our way externally, we know internally, oh, no. All things are working together for my good. No matter the circumstance, no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I'm a child of God. Now, your faith will be tested at times, but you will grow in endurance. We're to endure to the end, fighting the good fight of faith. It doesn't say being passive. It doesn't say being timid. No, no, fight the good fight of faith. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And so too often I see people who aren't living in the full victory because they don't realize the authority that they have in Christ Jesus. Use your mouth to speak life. Use your mouth to bind and to loose. The world was created by words. Your words have power. Proverbs 18:21, life or death. And too often, just because of circumstances and what we feel, we'll speak into a thing and we're not speaking life. We'll speak death, and you, just as much as you can have angelic activity, hearkening unto the word of God, when you speak the word of God that is alive and active, you can actually speak the exact opposite into the demonic realm, where you have demonic influences. And so it's so important that we bridle our tongue. That the Holy Ghost, excuse me, bridles our tongue. Because it's only him that can tame the tongue. That's one of the things when I first got saved, I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. Because this thing, oh, it says it's like a raging fire. And so we need the Lord to help us with what we speak. Hebrews 4 talks about the promised rest for God's people. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those to listen to God. For only we who believe can enter into his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where he mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all of his works. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. See, we can harden our hearts. We can choose to disobey the Lord. When he's telling you, start that business. When he's telling you, I want you to start that women's ministry. And you say, well, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. But you think about Moses. He had a stutter. And he tried to tell God what he could do in his life. And so may we be a people that look to the God of the universe, knowing that he is the one doing the work through us. Lean on him. Amen. The Bible says in John 3:30, one of my favorite scriptures, he must increase, I must decrease. If I get up here and you see a lot of me, God forbid, I want you to see Christ Jesus. Because I have nothing for you. The Bible says that in man, there's no good thing. Apart from him, no good thing. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. Just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. See, church, it is only those who believe that enter his rest. This is not a head knowledge, but a deep, settled knowing in your heart. Believe in Hebrew is, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, leha amin, which is rooted in the concept of trust, faithfulness, and firmness. It implies an active, firm commitment rather than passive thought, and is often used to mean trusting or having confidence in someone. You have a great high priest who is forever making intercession on your behalf. And as you approach the throne of grace boldly, receiving all that you need each and every day, fresh oil, fresh strength, fresh instruction, you will keep in divine alignment to the plan. And the reason why I share this is because in order to live a life of faith, you must know your God. Because faith worketh by love. And if you don't know how loved you are, when the Lord tells you to move across the world because he's got a plan for you to be a missionary, you're not going to second guess him because you know your Father's good. We've got to know God, to experience him in order to live that walk of faith, to have that rest in God, because we know he's a good Father. We have an internal GPS within us to lead us into the good works prepared in advance. And Psalm 139:16 says, you saw me before I was born. I want you guys to really, you can even close your eyes, just listen to this and take it in. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. There's books written about your life. Each and every one of you, the Lord has written a book of your life. And it's a good plan. And we can choose to follow that plan, or we can choose to follow our plan, what we think is good. But I declare we will be a people that will not settle. That we will walk in the fullness of the plan of God. That we will walk circumspectly with the Lord. That when he says, go left, we will go left. We're so divinely attuned to his voice. There is divine orchestration in your life, but we need to be in cadence with the conductor of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sets the tempo. And sometimes he'll reveal things that are to come. And in our zeal, we want to push forward. And the Lord's like, no, not yet. That's to come. When he says go, we'll go. When he says wait, we'll wait. I like to say wait on the wait. W-A-I-T on the weight of his glory. W-E-I-G-H-T. Wait on the wait, and then step into the assignment. Don't get too far ahead or lag behind. No. Step by step. Your steps are ordered. Evangelist Levi Lutz, the director of the evangelism boot camp that Michael and I went through in Orlando, he would talk about how there's preparatory commands. Sometimes the Lord will give us preparatory commands, and he'll show us things to come, but then there's the plan of execution. And so we need to be very discerning, because sometimes the Lord's saying, no, not yet, just wait. And I think about before the outpouring at Pentecost, 120, they decided to wait. But do you know there were over 500 that actually saw Jesus? And it was said that many of them, they were in Galilee, so they didn't want to go to Jerusalem because of the persecution at the time. But they had seen Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and they didn't wait. I don't want to be a people that doesn't wait on what he wants to do. We rush. We're so busy, so quick to just move on. And sometimes the Lord just wants you to sit. Like I said, be still and know that he is God, so that he can just drop revelation knowledge into your spirit. It's not a hard thing. We tend to complicate it a little bit, but we're not going to anymore. Amen? Because we're his children. The Bible says to come to him as a child. And I know that as we mature, we get older, life happens. Don't forget that you're his child and that you can be childlike and not be childish, but be childlike. It's good. And he loves you, and he wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to laugh. Laughter does the body good as a medicine. It's good. You know, like Pastor Scotty, you know, he wants a pontoon boat. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to enjoy life. He does, and he does want us to, he wants to grant us the desires of our heart. He's a good father. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, it was as if they were dreaming, as though they were dreaming. And you can live a life of faith that is just like that, where you see the hand of God supernaturally. You know, we start this walk with Christ. It's supernatural. I mean, you're born again. But then at times you tend to start, it's like, in Galatians, we're born in the spirit, but then we start walking in the flesh and just, you know, just going by to get by. We're going to church, but not truly living the life in the spirit that the Lord has called you. Walking that walk of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I wasn't even going to go in this direction. I'm kind of going off my notes, but I really feel that. Like maybe you felt a little stuck in your walk. But I'm telling you, you're called to have rivers of living water flowing through your being. And so if you're feeling stagnant or stuck today, that cap can come off. And that rivers of living water can flood your being, because, look, there's no dry place in Christ. No. There's no dry place now. We have the Spirit of God, living water, that floods our being. He's the living well. We will never thirst again. But you know, the beauty of thirst is that the more that you thirst, the more you get. Those who are hungry and those who are thirsty shall be filled. And may the Lord tonight arise a hunger and a thirst in you like never before. Ha! More of him, less of us. Because he wants to ignite within you such a longing for him. Because when you have him, you have everything that you need. When you have his presence, you have the fullness of life within you. Ha ha ha. And then you can start to walk in this life in a supernatural place, in seated with Christ in heavenly places, high above. Okay, we're in this natural realm. There's a second heaven, angels, demonic powers, but we're seated with him high above, third heaven. And so tonight, may you realize that you are seated with Christ. No more lower level living. No. You're up here with Christ. You're seated. You have a place of authority. It's a done deal. You're forever seated with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will walk in victory. We will not be tossed to and fro. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is our victory. This is our victory. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, the Holy Ghost sets the tempo. Ha. What sharpens your spiritual senses within you? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ha, ha, ha. The Apostle Paul actively practiced praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Rightfully so. He needed divine insight from the Lord. He understood the weight of the assignment. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He understood the assignment. Everything had to be birthed from the Spirit. Praying in tongues, church, increases spiritual capacity, which allows room for deeper revelation. Deep cries out unto deep. praying in tongues, reading the scriptures, renewing of the mind, meditating on scripture, worship, praise, all sharpen your spiritual senses so that you're led by your spirit, overriding all carnal reasoning. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Praying in tongues increases your spiritual capacity, which allows room for deeper revelation. There are times where I have needed an answer for something, and I will be praying in the spirit and then shoop, drop down in my spirit. You know, because when you pray the Holy Ghost, you're praying divine mysteries. You're praying out the will of God. It's between you and the Father. And that keeps you on track. And Satan can't hear those prayers. Oh, it's a heavenly, heavenly prayer. Thank you, Lord. So all of these things, they keep you sharp in your spirit, man. I want to share now just a little bit of my testimony because I think it bears witness to what we're speaking on. Because there's a lot of steps that I made in my life that had to be completely by faith and obedience to the Lord. But I can tell you every step of faith that I took, God increased me. He was never trying to decrease me. When the father told Abraham to leave his father's land, his father's pagan land, he was taken to a land that he knew not of, but he knew the word of the Lord. And the Lord increased him. He is the father of faith. And so when God tells you to do something, we cannot look to natural circumstances. We can't, because he is a supernatural God. If God said it, you can take it to the bank. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the author, and guess what? He is the finisher of your faith. But we have to stay in faith, step by step. In 2013, I was in complete rebellion to the Lord. My mother, my biological mother, I was 13 years old. She went to prison. And it was on World Headline News. I tried to commit suicide at almost 13 years old. It was on CNN. It was a mess. My house got raided. And as a kid, I was like, Lord, why me? You know, why did this happen as a child? And I was angry with God. I'll just be honest. Because before I'd went to church, and like I could feel the peace of God. I was invited by a friend that invited me to church as a child, and I accepted Jesus into my heart at 7 years old. And I remember feeling the peace of God when I rode that school bus. And I remember not sensing the chaos that I did at home. Now my parents, they did the best they could with what they had. They didn't know Jesus. And sin, it breeds chaos. That's just what it does. And so my environments were not conducive to what God was doing within me. I had accepted Christ into my heart. But with all the things going on in my home, I became very upset with the Lord. I'm like, God, if you're so good, then why did I go through all these things? My mom went to prison. One of my good friends had committed suicide. I tried to commit suicide. Glory to God. I woke up the next day, took a whole bottle of ibuprofen, was completely unharmed. And I know now that it was because the hand of God was on my life. And so from 13 to 23, I was just lost. I did every kind of drug you could imagine. I mean, the newspaper, they made up all these stories about my mom. And I was like, you know what? They already think I'm this bad child. I'm just going to be this rebellious child that they think I am. All these labels they put on me, I believe. Because Satan wants you to believe the lies. And he starts at a young age. That's why we got to protect our kids. We have got to protect our kids and tell them who they are in Christ. And speak the truth to them. Not hide them from it. Because Satan's after the children. And so I believed the lies. I believed that I had no worth. And so from 13 to 23, just in the world. Well, in 2013, my biological mom had been in jail, and she was praying with these Holy Ghost-filled women for me because, again, I was just in a bad way. And there was one day I was driving down the road with one of the girls I had been partying with, and I saw, God likes to speak to me through license plates. You know, if you have eyes to see, he can speak to you through anything. Do you ever have that? You're going along your day and something's highlighted and you're like, oh yeah, I see that. Because the eyes of your heart have been enlightened. You have eyes to see and you're just like, oh, the Lord's speaking through that. So the Lord will speak to me through license plates. And so I saw two white cars in front of me. One of the license, this was at a stoplight, one of them said, he's coming. And whether or not they actually said that, I believe in the supernatural power of God, because the girl that I was with, she looked at me, she said, that's for you. And I said, what? Why not for you? We're both partying together, right? But if God can use a donkey, then he can use an unsaved girl. And the Lord was trying to get my attention. So that night, I left the bar, was going 85 miles an hour on a 45-mile-an-hour road, running from the cops. I finally pulled over, guys. I went to jail, and I tell you what, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. It was my crossroads. You know, God used Israel and put them in captivity. He used that. And he used captivity for a purpose in my life. It was a place where he got me quiet, where he could speak to me in that place, be still and know that I am God. I began to hear the Lord. And I got locked up with my biological mom. I said, my God, this is a setup. This is a setup. And the Holy Ghost said, you got to forgive her in order to be forgiven. And I tell you what, when I began to see her with the eyes of the Father, and I realized all the pain and the hurt that she had gone through, and I released her, and I told her, because I love my mom. She's with the Lord now, but I love her dearly. But I had a lot of resentment because I was like, how could you? I was a child. But the thing is that hurt people, and when people are in bondage, and they have never encountered the Holy Ghost, they don't know. People need freedom. People are hurt. And so when I forgave my mother, though, there was such restoration. There was healing in my heart. And I encountered the peace of God like I had never encountered before. I truly felt the mercy of God. I encountered his presence. You know, before I went to church, I had a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. But I encountered the light of God. It was flooding my being. And I felt the peace and the joy and the righteousness that we speak of in Romans. And I was like, wow, God, like you're really not a God far away. And that's when I began to realize that he is a God to be experienced. And I read this book by Katie Souza, The Key to Your Expected End. And this woman, she was in a biker gang. She was selling drugs. And I was just like, wow, God, like you got her in jail and encountered her. And now you're using her around the world. I began to dream with God. I was like, Lord, if you can use her, then certainly you can use me. Because before, I had this stronghold. See, here's the thing. When you get saved, all those strongholds, that wrong thinking, it don't just go away. No. It takes some breaking the strongholds with the Word of God. It's the washing of the Word. And so I believed the lie that I could not be like the good Christian people because of where I had been and what I had gone through. And so even though I was saved, I still believed that lie. But I read that book, and it increased my faith. I said, God, if you used her, then certainly you can use me. And then I began to have visions of droves of people encountering the power of God, not realizing what a crusade was. And later on down the line, after one step of obedience after another, I began to be able to be a part of mass crusades where I see mass deliverance, I see healings, and I see mass salvations. I was able to preach to 40,000 people at one time, not because I'm so great, but because I lived a life of faith. It was one step of obedience at a time. You know, after I got out of jail, I went to a revival meeting. And I saw the revivalist, and I was like, God, whatever he has, I want it. And he was preaching on Moses and the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, show me your glory. And I went up to the front, and he laid hands on me. And I'm telling you, I wept for a good hour and a half under the power of God. And I know that the Holy Ghost was cleansing me. Oh, he was healing me. And I got up from that encounter, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was walking on a cloud. I had joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I became so hungry after the things of God. My dad thought I was crazy. I didn't want to watch TV no more. I didn't want to go out with old friends. I was brand new. I had read this Bible and believed it. I was like, Lord, I don't want to go back. I want to live for you. And I'm telling you, he is faithful. He is faithful. And he will pick the weak and the foolish things to confound the wise. Because I know he gets all the glory. I know that it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus that lives within me. Oh, he's a good God. And not long after I got out of jail, my mom, she had ended up coming home. And you know, I give God glory because I had time of restoration with her because she had passed away from prescription drug overdose. I had found her on our bathroom floor, and I'm telling you, when that happened, I said, you know what, devil? I said, you want this to make me bitter, but it's going to make me better. And I decided that every generational curse in my family line, oh, I was going to be the one that would change the course in my family. Hold up, shake, ta ta ba, so kotolo ro ro ro, hey, hey, ya kata ta ba, so kotolo riere de, oh, ya kata ta ba, so lo 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 riere de de, ha 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 ha. And that's why I can sit here and laugh today, because I got the victory. Oh, he tried. But I'm telling you, I went further into my walk with God. I decided, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to run and not grow weary. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to see the power of God on display. Satan, you're under my feet. I thank you, Lord. Oh, there's a line drawn in the sand. Oh, and I stepped over, I crossed over, and I began to dream with God. And I'm telling you that the Lord is faithful to finish the work that he has begun in you. Not because we're so great, because he's so great within us. And he loves us. He loves us without measure. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm telling you, every step of obedience, he's been so faithful. And so I implore you, whatever the Lord is speaking to you today, you can trust him. And whatever I have lacked in my natural family, the Lord has brought supernatural kingdom family. Can I tell y'all something? Let me tell y'all something. I had never even been to Alabama before. Never. I'm from Virginia. Did y'all know that? I'm from Virginia. So a little over six years, my God. I'm at Bible college. So when I got out of, I started watching Parsley in Columbus, Ohio, and I saw the fire of God on that man's life. And I said, God, I want it. I need it. I want to go to that Bible college. But, you know, timing is everything. But I had it in my heart. So I went to one of his camp meetings, and I ended up winning a scholarship. And so I went to Bible college there, and I thought I was going to do online, and the Lord said, no, you're going to be on campus. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm 30 years old. You're going to put me in a college campus with all these young girls? He sure did. My leader was 18 years old. I said, oh, Lord, you're humbling me. But I'm telling you, it broke me down and it built me up. The Lord broke me down and built me up in that place because I learned who God sets in authority. It don't matter what their age is. And so I learned to submit. I learned to submit. And I became a mother to many, many young ladies that didn't have a mom in there. But then I realized I needed a mother still. My mom had passed away, and I didn't know that the love that I so gave, I needed it as well. So the Lord leads me to go to this women's conference, this Judy Jacobs Women's Conference. And here's this redhead that I meet up on the front row. And she starts telling me about the jail ministry that she does. I'm like, I radically got saved in jail ministry. And we just hit it off by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit knows Spirit. You know, you're like, oh, we're connected. Yes. Okay. And so she gave me one of her ministry cards. And we began to talk on the phone. And she would pray for me. And there was a love that I had never experienced through a person, through this woman. And I wouldn't be who I am today had it not been for this woman. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe that even before she met me, she got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1988. And I was born in 1988. So I was born by the Spirit of God. The Lord is intentional. I'm telling you what. He's in the details. He's beyond time. He's outside of time. Hallelujah. So I began to talk with her and pray with her. And I knew that it was a divine connection. And the Holy Ghost told me, he said, I want you to go to Alabama. So I went and visited my family up in Virginia for Christmas. And then I drove all the way down to Holly Pond, Alabama. I mean, I didn't hardly know her like talking about guys, like, but the Lord told me to do it. And so I drove all the way from Virginia to Holly Pond, Alabama. And I get down her road and I'm like, I start thinking, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing? He's like, just go. And I stepped foot on these grounds and I began to weep because I knew it was a place of destiny. A place of destiny. And my life was forever changed. This woman taught me what it was to sit in the glory. To not be doing a bunch of stuff, but just waiting like I'm sharing with you all. She lived the message. And she was so steady. And I saw the love of God through her eyes. And I was like, Lord, I want that. And at first it scared me because I'm like, what does she want from me, you know? I was like, she's almost too nice, you know? But she's a yielded vessel, and I honor her, Mama Laura Crocker, love her so much, because she was a vessel that showed the love of God to me. Because we all want to be known, we all want to be loved, and I had dealt with so much rejection from even my own family, you know, finding out my biological father rejected me in the womb in Orlando, but then the Lord redeemed my story in Orlando when I went to Christ for All Nations and was able to, you know, walk with powerful ministers from all around the world to preach gospel crusades. I'm like, the Lord is a redemptive God. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when Satan thinks that, you know, he's got you, man, the Lord, he's got the upper hand. He's like, you know what? I got something better for you. He's a redemptive God. And so I share this with you because had I not gone to Holly Pond and allowed the Lord to do such a deep work within me, I wouldn't have been able to step into the fullness of the call. Because it's very vital that we know who we are before we step into what God has. That we're rooted and grounded in our identity in Him, knowing that we're fully loved. We're not moved. We're not moved by people, opinions of men. Like, we're steadfast, immovable. And COVID had happened not long after I came to visit her. I went back to Bible college. Well, everything was shutting down. And do you know what the Holy Ghost said? He said, don't miss the moment. And so I drove all the way back down to Holly Pond. Everything was closed. And we would just sit in the presence of God for hours at a time. She taught me that. That's a discipline, you guys. Because in a world, like I said, that's so busy, we just want to keep going and doing. But we need to become good receivers. Just waiting upon the Lord. Let His presence saturate us so that we can go along our day. And so one day, I started a hair salon, and the Lord supernaturally provided everything that I needed. And I'm like, Lord, why do I have such favor in Alabama, right? And I visited my nanny up in Virginia, and she had this book, and it said Alabama Roots. I said, Nanny, you ain't never showed me Alabama Roots. And she's like, oh yeah, my grandfather was from Alabama. They were missionaries from overseas. And I was like, we got missionaries in our family? Like, I didn't know this. But I tell you this because the Holy Ghost told me, He said, Jennifer, what was lost through your bloodline, I'm restoring in Alabama. The prayers of my ancestors from years ago, but because they forfeited it to Satan. They decided to walk away from the call of God. The Lord is restoring it in my life. And that's how intentional our God is. So that's why I'm here in Alabama. I mean, it wasn't my plan. This is living a life of faith. And so Mama Laura came to me one day, and she's like, I believe you're supposed to do this evangelism boot camp because, you know, I had told her about the mass crusades. You know, I would see droves of people. And she came to me and told me they were having this evangelism boot camp to train people to be able to organize and conduct a mass crusade. The evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, he is a German evangelist. He's since passed away. The successor is Daniel Kalinda. And anyhow, so they were having this evangelism boot camp. And when she shared it with me, my baby leaped. My spirit leaped. And I knew that I was supposed to go. Well, to the natural mind, it didn't make much sense. I had started this hair salon. Though I didn't have any employees, still, like, everything was given to me. It didn't make sense. Like, oh, I'm going to lay all this down to go to this boot camp. It's a lot of money. Didn't have the money at the time. But the Lord said, go. Well, I ended up applying for it, and I ended up getting accepted. It was 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks to the day we were supposed to start, and they needed $4,000 the very next day, I believe, after I got accepted, the very next day. So Mama and I, we were like, all right. She's like, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're by faith. We're praying in the Holy Ghost. We get a call from a couple that we were at church with, and they said that they had something they wanted to bring us. And we're like, oh, you can bring it Wednesday after service. They said, no, we have to get it to Jennifer tonight. So they drove to Coleman County Jail. We're coming out of the jail, you guys. They're, you know, in the rain, newborn baby. And they come and hand me a card with a check, $4,500. This is a newly married couple and a newborn baby. Like, it baffled me. And the Lord told me, he said, Jennifer, I will always provide for where I lead. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me for ever doubting what you've called me to, because he's not looking for you to figure it out or even to supply it. He just wants you to step out in faith. And even when I was at the boot camp, I'd been there for a week and $2,000 popped up in my bank account. I thought it was a glitch, guys. I thought it was a glitch. I didn't touch that money. I was like, I'm not touching that. BB&T, they're messing with me, man. But it never went away. And I was able to use that money for housing in Orlando. It's not cheap to live in Orlando. And so I was able to use that. Well, then later on down the road, we're about to go to Africa. And I needed money for this harvest ring. And I'm like, Lord, I've got some money for Africa. I'm still raising funds for that. And Mama was like, all right, we're going to pray in faith for that. You guys, I had not checked my business account from the salon. I hadn't withdrawn or deposited any money because I hadn't done my taxes. So I hadn't even checked it. Well, the Holy Ghost said, check it the next morning. So I checked it. There was $330 extra in it. And what I needed was $315. But here's the thing. The whole time during that evangelism boot camp, John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. It was like a staple scripture during that time. So I kept declaring it. So 3:30 popped up in my business account. And the Holy Ghost said, when you take care of my business, I will always take care of your business. So now when I look at my harvest ring, I realize my bridegroom king, he paid for this ring. No arm of the flesh paid for this ring. It was my God, my beloved bridegroom king. He made covenant with me. And that's the supernatural God that we serve. But will we believe it? It will be unto us as we believe. And every step of obedience got me to my husband. I won't get into the details because we'll be here for a while. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you that it's a supernatural way of life. Mama Laura and I prayed and fasted because we were like, Lord, I wanted the right husband. And I desired it so much. The Lord will grant you the desires of your heart. He will. He's faithful. He gives good gifts. And so she, being the wise woman she is, she didn't tell me right away, but the Lord spoke an audible voice. His name is Michael. His name is Michael. And this was years ago. And it was the unfolding of the plan of God. The unfolding of the plan of God. And when I knew him and the veil had been torn, I knew that I knew. There was no gray area. So for those, if you're single in here and you're waiting for a spouse, I'm telling you, there will be no gray area. The Holy Ghost, he will make it very clear. And it'll be by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And it'll be an add to. It's not pulling away from God. No. He's building you up. You're building him up. You're a kingdom power couple for Jesus. Like, it's not going to subtract from your life. He's going to undergird you. You're going to undergird him. So I share this tonight because there's more for us. There's a supernatural way of life, and I have to put up stones of remembrance to remember what my God has done in the past. He wants to exceed that. He wants to do greater. He wants to increase us greater in knowledge of him, in knowledge of what he can do in our lives. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's him. You carry the goods. You have the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Dunamis, explosive power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now we're about to go into our time of healing. The Lord wants to touch you tonight. If you have pain in your body, by faith, I want you to take hold of it. Jesus came to destroy the works of darkness. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. Sickness is not of God, and you do not have to live in pain and in sickness. Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist who founded CFAN, he actually would say, if I prayed for 100 people and 99 of them didn't get healed, I'm going to pray for that 100th one as if they all got healed. Because the word of God is forever settled. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's forever settled. And Luke 8:40-56, this is Jesus, and he heals in response to faith. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcome Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowd. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop weeping. She isn't dead. She is only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. "My husband said it last night. God is not moved by your need. He's moved by your faith." The woman with the issue with blood, according to Levitical law, she was unclean and was to remain unclean. She had spent, or to remain hidden. She had spent all of her money on treatment, but only to get worse over a 12-year period. But she pressed on in faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. With Jairus' daughter in the natural, the people said she was dead, but the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." And I want to point this out. This was highlighted to me. The daughter was 12 years old. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Numbers are significant. 12 biblically represents authority, completeness, and government. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is over all forces of the natural and earthly government. The spiritual is to be more real than the natural for us as believers, as the natural was born by the Spirit, moved upon the words of God. I want to share a quick testimony, and then we'll lay hands. I was in Rwanda, Africa. We were doing a crusade, and there was a lady who was paralyzed from the waist down. And she was brought by her friend on a bicycle, towns away. I mean, they're hungry over there. They will walk for miles and miles just to get into a meeting, just to encounter the power of God. And we were able to see this lady fully restored and walk off that crusade field that night. And there were two other people. There were three people that were paralyzed that very night. Sometimes the Lord, there's special graces that he'll move on. Like, he's the healer of all, but what I've noticed in some meetings, there'll be special graces that he releases. And there were three people that were paralyzed that night. And another testimony was, I was in Zambia, Africa. We were doing gospel crusades in the market outreaches. And there was this lady, she was brought to us in a wheelbarrow. She was paralyzed too. And we prayed for her, the prayer of faith. And we believe by faith that the power of God was manifesting in her body. And sometimes you might not see it right away. But we encourage people to by faith, take hold of their healing. A couple of days later, one of the pastors that was with us, he told us that lady, she was on the crusade field and she was walking. And we were able to see her. And I'm telling you this because even if you don't see the manifestation of your healing, by faith, you take hold of that word that by his stripes you're healed, you're whole. And maybe it's not a physical healing you need, but you need healing in your soul. You need to forgive someone. You need to release bitterness. The Lord is wanting to cleanse you tonight so you can be a clean, pure vessel for the Master's use, so that the living water can flood your being and you can be a conduit used for his glory. Tonight, if you need healing in your body, I want you to come forward. Healing in any part of your body, if you even just need a touch, you know, we've talked about just a deeper walk